Good morning, everybody. I am Rodney Craner. I am a deacon here at Grace. I've been married to my beautiful wife almost 25 years. I've got four adult children. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. I'm a member of the CBBBA, which is a Christian Black Belt Association. And I'm a Jesus freak. So, when I first started writing my notes for my sermon, I'm typing them all out, and I'm about 9 pages deep. And my wife says, there's no way you've got enough time to do 9 pages. You just can't. So I ran down through my entire sermon, and I looked at everything, and I thought, you know what? I can't take any of that out. I like it all. So I grabbed the toolbar up top, and I clicked font, and I made the font smaller. And now I have 7 pages. So we're going to get through this, right? I get asked, why is martial arts okay? You know, is it okay to hit people and punch people and kick people? At our school, we don't teach to fight out of anger or hatred, but rather as a self-defense, building strength, courage, and character. We are all in a battle every day against an evil that doesn't fight fair. It often can't be seen or directly felt, but if your armor, it looks all nice and new and shiny, there's probably a pretty good chance that you're not putting up too much of a fight. The Bible calls the Bible your sword, right? I know we all use electronic swords now, so they don't get all beat up and they don't look like the old swords, right? But I have a Civil War Bible that I absolutely love. But it makes me sad, too, because I look at the Civil War Bible, and it's 150 years old. It was in somebody's pocket during the Civil War, and yet it still looks like almost new. I mean, there's a little wear on the leather, but the pages are perfect. So somebody spent some time in the trenches, you know, fighting with muskets, and they had this chance to speak to God and to listen to what he says, and they didn't use it. So I encourage you to spend time with your sword, all right? I have a selection of swords here. We'll talk about those in a little bit. There are several places in the Bible, Old Testament, where they talk about references to martial arts. In Genesis, they talk about Abraham and his 318 trained soldiers. In Judges, they talk about Gideon's 300 warriors. 1 Samuel, they talk about Jonathan and his armor bearer. In 2 Samuel, they talk about God being the source of our martial knowledge. 2 Samuel, they also talk about David's mighty men. Nehemiah talks about having a military preparedness. Psalm 144:1 is the verse that's embroidered on the side of my pants. They talk about David praising God for teaching him the art of war. And in 2 Timothy, they talk about Christians should be discipled like soldiers. As a member of the Christian Black Belt Association, we have a large group that gather together, and we love Jesus, and we love to train in different martial arts. And one thing you always want to remember when you're training with black belts, God's word is still very active in that. It says in Acts 20 and 35, it is better to give than receive. So when you're doing punching and kicking drills with a black belt, I'm just telling you, it's better to give than receive. And if you've done any martial arts at all, you're going to know that that's true. All right. In the Christian Black Belt group that I am a privilege of, there is also a smaller group, a group of brothers who are a little more involved in ministry. Each of us carries that challenge coin. Oftentimes, military have challenge coins. If any of you have been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. That challenge coin we all carry is a reminder of our commitment to serving like Jesus and to each other. And the coin bears the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, the armor of God says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when, because it's coming, right? It comes every day. you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and your sword, right? Take up your sword, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should. So I have here a selection of swords. We're going to read scripture. It's going to be Matthew 13, 1 through 23 when we get there. And we're going to liken these swords to the people that are in that scripture. As a martial artist, you gotta love some swords, you know. Get tall ones and short ones and pretty ones, and, right. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So, these four swords that we're going to talk about are four different peoples. There's the first one, right? That's a wooden sword. It's a bokon. We use it for training. It's not sharp. It will hurt you, but it's better to give than receive, right? So this represents a people group who really don't know God. They don't spend any time in his word. When they do spend time with his word, it's taken from them. They really don't have a relationship or an understanding or a belief of God. Next sword. This one's a little more deceptive, right? This looks like the real deal. Glad you said up front, huh, Tom? All right. So this sword looks like the real deal. Shows up to church on Sunday. Beyond that, there's no relationship with God at all. Don't spend any time in the Word. You know, shows up here and maybe Christmas and Easter and grandma's birthday, you know. But realistically, it's not doing anything, right? It's a parade sword. It's pretty. It's gold. It's shiny. Now, the next sword, this sword, now we're stepping into live blades, okay? Live blades means it is a sharp sword. This sword lives its whole life, very capable, sharp, but it spends its whole life in the bag, okay? Consumed by worry and fear. It doesn't want to get scratched up and dinged. It doesn't want to get out there and do what God's called it to do. It wants to live protected. What if I get hurt? What if I get scratched? What am I going to look like then? Last sword, by the way, my tallest sword. This is the one that I hope that I am. That is a live blade. You know, it's a little scratched, and it's a little dinged, and it's a little rusty. But it is very capable of ready to do work. It's been through the fire. It's been tested. It's been forged. It's been hammered. It's been sharpened. That sword is capable of doing work. Keep in mind, when I talk about doing work, I'm not talking about earning your salvation, but working because you love the Master. That's all this is about. You know, I'm absolutely willing to work, but I'm not willing to work to try and earn my salvation. I already have that in Christ. Okay? But because I am willing to work, the Master can say, "Hey, what do you think about preaching on Sunday?" I'm like, "Yes. I love to." Ephesians 2, 9 and 10 says, "Not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Right? Salvation comes when you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. That's Romans 10, 9. All right? So now we're going to step right into to the Matthew passage. It's the parable of the sower, okay? And we're going to liken these four seeds as they hit the ground to these swords, and then again to the people types that they represent. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd had gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on shore, they told him many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear. In them fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be hearing, but never understanding. You will be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people, God's heart had become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, they might hear with their ears, understand and turn their hearts, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and longed to hear but you did not hear it. All right? And then in 18, Jesus reveals the prophecy to his disciples and to those around him. He wanted them to understand it. So he says, listen into the parable of what the sower means. First sword, right? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Snatches away what is sown in their heart, the seed along the path. It's gone, right? Next sword. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Never sharpened, never heat treated, never been through the fire. Had no desire to be in the fire, right? They don't want that trouble and persecution. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So concerned about what could happen, so concerned about where tomorrow's money comes from, so concerned about if I tithe, am I going to have enough money to pay my bills, so concerned about all of the things and worries of this world. What if I say I'm a Jesus freak? What are they going to think about me? What if I say I'm a martial artist who loves Jesus? Am I going to get picked on? Am I going to be made fun of? I don't care. You know what? I am working for the master. And whatever comes, comes. And if there's persecution that comes with that, I am so happy to be a part of it. Last sword. This one. Sharp. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 60, 130 times what was sown. Right? This is the one I want to be. I want to be the sharp sword that's a little beat up, but doesn't live its life like the rest of those. Right? Which one of these swords are you? Are you making yourself available to the master? When he says, I need something done, is it, God, pick me? Or is it, not today. Right? All right, let's switch gears a little bit. In martial arts, when you were a white belt, the white belt. You don't know anything. And when you're a white belt in the Bible, you don't know much either. Right? You don't know where the first book is, the last book is, Genesis, Revelations. You don't have any idea where to find anything. right? You just don't know the stories of the Bible. But if you stick with it and you advance in both martial arts and in your Bible, and you keep your training up, eventually you'll be a black belt. Now, I can tell you what, as a black belt, I don't know everything. And I've been through the Bible a lot of times, and we'll talk about that in a second, but I don't know everything. But I know enough now to start learning. When you spend time in martial arts, when you become a black belt, all of those things that you've learned up to this point, that's where you start learning. That's where the whole picture starts to come together. It's like, that's why I did that block like that 1,000 times. That's what that's for. I didn't realize that was going to be fun. I thought it was just doing the block, right? So as you spend time in the Bible, you're also going to pick those things up. You're going to learn the stories. You're going to learn all of the relationships. You're going to learn that the Old Testament all leads towards Jesus, and the New Testament all leads to his story and his life. I'm not telling you this because I'm boasting. I'm just telling you where my story is. I have read the Bible cover to cover one time, and I'm not a good reader, and it's hard, and it takes me a long time, but I've done it. But I have listened to it cover to cover on CD 13 times. I have it in my car. I don't listen to the radio at all in my car. It's 20 minutes to work. It's 20 minutes home. And in roughly 6 months, you can get through the entire Bible. And if you're looking for a version, NIV from Zondervan is a great version. It is a dramatic version, so every character has a different voice. So when Jesus speaks, you recognize the master's voice. And when Satan speaks, it's creepy. You know, they did a good job on that. You know. So I learned something new every time. The Bible is full of things that are hidden. Parables. You have to dig in and you have to read the word and you have to consume it. You have to pull it into yourself. And then the Holy Spirit living inside of you will help you decipher all of that. In Ephesians 6, the Bible says it's your sword. I believe that you must train with your sword every day because your enemy Satan, who in 1 Peter 5:8 says, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. I believe Satan's read the Bible, right? I believe he has. Why wouldn't he? He's got a lot of time, right? He's had thousands of years. From the very first time a chisel hit a stone, he's had an opportunity to read God's word, right? So he's training with the same weapon, our sword, the one that you're studying. But the advantage that we have is that if we are in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living in us that helps us understand things in this book that are spoken in parables, the things that are hidden. Satan doesn't get that. He can read the words and he can read the text, but he doesn't get the advantage of the Holy Spirit speaking to us and through us. He'll never get that. So in our roughly 100 years that we get to study, and we don't even get that, right? We don't start at zero, right? We don't get to start day one, and we don't all make it to 100. But we know Satan's had a long time with it, right? Satan is bold. He fights dirty. He even tries to deceive Jesus. In Matthew, Jesus in the wilderness says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. That's where your Bible on CD is awesome, because that voice is just nasty. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot on a stone. Jesus answered them, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms and all of their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels attended him. Satan even tries to deceive Jesus, right? He's bold. Jesus is the word. right? He knows it. He is it. He lives it. And Satan, he's so twisted, he thinks he can sneak in on Jesus, right? But Jesus rebukes him with scripture, the same scripture that is available to each and every one of us, the same scripture that is our sword, right? Here's a little side note, and I don't think this will ever happen in America, but, you know, who knows? We all have Bibles, sometimes several. What if tomorrow that book is illegal? What if tomorrow they're burning Bibles and they're taken away from us and they're gone? Do you know enough about God's word to pass it to the next generation? Do you? Or is it gone? Does it die? You know? What happens? I have been blessed with a few gifts. Martial arts is one of them. Frosted sugar cookies. There's one, right? I believe we are all gifted in some way, and God has equipped each of us differently. In Romans 12, 4 through 8, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members all do not have the same functions, so we in Christ, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11, it says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, and faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should serve with strength God provides, and that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." This is why we at Grace often talk about gathering inside of groups outside of here, right? We want you in used to be house churches, and it's gatherings, and it's communities, and whatever it is, it's great that you guys are outside, back together, okay? And you can use each of your talents, whether it's organizing, teaching, cooking, encouraging. Some of you are prayer warriors. It's important for you guys to circle together outside of here to continue what we're doing here, okay? It is great to set in straight lines, used to be pews, right? Everybody's setting straight lines all over the place. And it's great to set in straight lines and learn, but there is so much more to be learned when you take God's word and start breaking it down. We get 20 minutes up here. I'm going to take about 40, right? You got time? All right. So, but you guys can take that snippet and go home and break it down and spend 2 or 3 hours really digging in and learning what it looks like to live more like Jesus. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." So I'm going to step up on stage now because we're going to tie in a little martial arts to this. I'll take this with me. You a baseball guy? A little bit? That's the real deal, right? That's a brand new Louisville Slugger. There's no cuts or grooves. That's the real deal, right? All right, Rachel, where's my Rachel? Circles. Circles are better than straight lines. Give Rachel a big hand. All right, so it's great that you guys circle up. I'm going to step this way so we don't hit that bat because I fall big. All right? I'm going to punch one straight line right towards Rachel's head. And Rachel, because she is trained in martial arts with me, knows that sometimes it's better to be circular. Right? I'm a big guy. Rachel is not a big guy. Right? But, hey, just for fun, if you have ever trained in martial arts at all, can you stand up? If you've ever trained one day, all right. Just keep that in mind when you're heckling me and Rachel after the service. Those are all brothers and sisters in the art. All right? So just keep that in mind. Some of them are big. Some of them are small. Some of them are quiet. Some of them will thump you. All right? One straight punch. Ready? Thank you, Rachel. Circles, better than straight lines, right? All right, we're going to shift gears one more time. We're going to talk about sin, all right? You don't have to raise your hand, but you've all smelled a skunk, right? Skunks are nasty. They smell horrible. You can smell them from miles and miles away. You don't even know where they're at. They're just stink. Do you suppose that when we are in sin, that's the way we smell in God's nostrils? Do you suppose that that stench is what we are when we're steeped in our sin, that that's what he smells? Just like, whoo, what have you been into? But he already knows what we've been into, right? The only one's hiding, it's us. So what do we know about sin? Well, here's what I know about sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you plan to stay, and it'll cost you more than you're willing to spend. So how do we stay ahead of sin? It says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction. And many may enter through it, but small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. So that's kind of narrow, but you can get through there, right? It's easy to walk around. Right? But the path is narrow. That board is going to represent our sin, right? Sometimes we like it. We hang right onto it, right? I'm kind of comfortable with that, right? But no matter what, when we have our sin, we have set it down in that path and said, God, you know what? I'm okay with that being between us today. I'm kind of having fun with it, right? And that's not where any of us need to be. We see sin as levels of bad. Steal a pencil, cursing, lying, gossip, sexual relationships, murder. We all see those in shades of gray. God doesn't see shades of gray. He sees sin and no sin. He sees black and white. The only way we can be white is through confession of sin, repentance, and most importantly, a relationship with Jesus. Remember, Satan knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. So when you confess your sins and have a relationship with Jesus, you are then seen through the filter of Jesus. So when God sees you in confessed sin and in a relationship with God, he sees you white like he sees Jesus. Sin doesn't usually pop up big and bad and ugly. It starts off small, starts off easy, right? It doesn't even seem like you're doing anything wrong. And then all of a sudden, you're in just a little deeper because, you know, that was comfortable. This isn't too bad. A little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. And all of a sudden, you're into something so big and ugly that you don't know how you got there and you don't know how to get away from it. In Genesis 4 and 7, God and Cain are having a conversation. God says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now, in the following verse, Cain goes ahead and kills his brother. So he never got past it. Whatever it was, the anger, the hate, the jealousy, whatever it was that fueled all of that, he never got away from it. He just held on to it. He kept clinging to it, and he placed it between him and God and said, I'm okay with it being there. Right? So how do we keep that from happening? We need to be quick to recognize sin in our lives, and we need to kick that sin out of our lives, all right? So here's where the martial arts stuff starts up, all right? So all y'all that hear the don't try this at home, this is where we start that stuff, okay? This is a trap, right? How quick can you sin? You sin so fast that God can't see it? So we are going to be quick By the way, this is my son, Zach. He has volunteered. He's volunteered to put this trap in his hand. All right? So we are going to be quick. We are going to kick our sin habits. And we are going to destroy that sin and restore our path to God. All right? So, rule number one, be quick. Okay? Quick. Hey! Quick. Now we're going to be quick. We're going to kick our sin habits, right? Nothing up my sleeve. Woo! Right? We're going to be quick to kick our sin habits. Hey! Oh, get the paper out of here. We're going to be quick to kick our sin habits. We don't want that sin in our lives, right? Fred, you're in charge of the fire extinguisher if this goes bad. All right? Who likes us in sin? Right? So we need to be quick to kick our sin habits, crush that sin, and restore our path to God. I am here today because God has given me a talent and a gift, and I want to share it with you. I don't want to stand before God and have him say, hey, I let you be a black belt. What'd you do with that? I'll say, man, I punched people, and I kicked people, and we did push-ups. I made them do so many push-ups, they were ready to puke. I love that. Right? I love being a black belt. But when it comes time to stand before God, ultimately, being a black belt doesn't matter if you're not using it for the kingdom. Whatever your talent is doesn't matter if you're not using it for the kingdom. If you're using it for yourself, what's it matter? My goal is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness. I want to live my life with my armor dinged up. My sword worn, right? So if you're using an electronic sword, wear the numbers off the front of your phone, right? I love being a black belt. So I want to find a new place for this. Hold on. So when I get to heaven, I love my black belt. When I first got my black belt, I wore this thing for like 2 hours. My wife says, are you ever going to take that off? I said, I don't plan on it. I worked really hard for that, right? Put a lot of years in. But ultimately, when you get to heaven, this is nothing more than a piece of cotton that holds your pants up. It means nothing. You have to use what God's given you for the kingdom. So, in closing, I kind of want you to think this week about your training with your sword, about circling up, about studying God's word, about which of those swords you are and how to progress to the next level. So if you're the one that doesn't know God at all, start digging in. If you're the one that's not sharp because you've never been through the fire, well, once you start believing, it's coming, right? If you're the sharp sword that lives its life sheltered, step out in faith. Get with other believers. Trust God that it'll protect you and provide for you. And if you're the sharp sword, the one that's dinged up and capable of doing work, get after it. Right? Don't let my martial arts demo today and all this stuff be the stuff that you remember. Be God's people. Be his word. Use this stuff to remember. Hey, you remember when that time when that guy came and busted all that stuff up in the church and lit stuff on fire and didn't catch a whole place on fire? Wasn't that cool? Right? So use your talents to advance the kingdom. You pray with me? Father God, we delight in you and thank you so much for a day where I'm able to serve you and to bring a message, Lord, that hopefully changes lives. I pray that you be with these people, that they would grow closer to you and have a desire to be more and more like Jesus. I pray that you would have their hearts be strong, that they would want to be the sword that is capable of work for you and really desires to do work for you, that they want to live a life that is pleasing to you and so that when they stand before you, they can hear, good job, servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand as we get ready to close. So before the service, the ministry prayer team was praying, and we felt like a few words that God wanted to do during our time together. And if this fits you and you would like prayer, there's going to be a prayer team over in the corner that would love to pray for you. One of the words was to remove masks, that to be vulnerable and remove masks. Another one, somebody saw a picture of clouds over a person and that God wants to bring clarity instead of confusion. Two people had a word about a pain in the left knee. A word about someone who lost someone they love and there's emotional pain. Someone saw a picture of people sitting on a metal fence with spikes and wavering between two opinions, and it's painful to resist God and to make a good decision because the Lord has something better for you. We're sons and daughters and not slaves. If bitterness is there, making steps to forgiveness to get freedom. And then the last thing is when Rodney brought out this sword, I just feel like a lot of people are in this spot, and it's fear that is gripping you, and it's lies of the enemy that are gripping you from being the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. The lies of who are you to go take up the sword? Who do you think you are? What if you don't know what to do when that sword comes out of there? How am I supposed to use it? So the enemy grips us with fear. How many times in the Bible does it say, fear not, for the Lord is with you? Be not afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So if you are letting fear beat you, the things of this world that are blocking your sword from being the light, let your light shine among men, he says. Don't hide it under a basket. So bring the sword. Be the person that God has called you to be. If that is gripping you, or if you're not stepping into that, they would love to pray for you over there. So let's close, and then the band will play a couple songs as we finish this service. So Father, help us to take off that black sheath there and pull that sword out to be the people that you've called us to be, a city on a hill that can't be hidden, God. Let the army of God arise with their sword in their hand and strike terror in the hands of the evil one, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.